This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وسلم وبارك على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. So just one housekeeping idea or thought before I go through the verses, inshallah ta'ala, or as many of them as I can, is that the culture of sitting during Taraweeh is important to spread amongst people who are a little bit older. I find that a lot of, because we don't do it very often, people who are a little bit older feel self-conscious to do it. So I'm tempted to ask a few people to do it even though they don't need it, just to normalize it. Because it's very, very normal within a sunnah prayer for someone who feels that their feet are hurting and their knees aren't, you know, what they once were, and nor are their hips, and they would like to continue to pray, but they find it difficult to stand up. They are well within their Islamic recommendations, actually, to sit for a little bit during the prayer. You can basically stand and then sit in the same rak'ah, and then stand again, and then sit in the same rak'ah. And there's really nothing wrong with that. Like if you're finding yourself that you're a little bit of pain, or you're not focused anymore. So I would ask the older brothers and here, if you feel that, do it, and you'll get two ajr. You'll get the ajr of taking a rukhsa, because there's ajr in doing that. And number two is you get the ajr of maybe encouraging an older person who wants to do it but is embarrassed to do it, is not doing it, and then they end up not praying at all because they don't want to sit in the salah. Again, if you see someone young sitting, feel free to slap them on the head as hard as you want, and that's fine by me, But older people, they should be able to sit, yeah. It shouldn't be a problem. And we should encourage that a little bit amongst our brothers and sisters, because it's been a couple of years I've been talking about this and no one listens to me. No one sits and they just leave. If sitting actually allows you to pray more and allows you to enjoy more of the Quran and the dua as well. So feel free to do that. It's definitely within your rights. Okay, so today we'll continue with this. I'm not sure, I haven't taken feedback on it, but I hope that this has been a little bit helpful or somewhat helpful so far. If it isn't, I can always shift my focus, but I'll be asking a little bit around to see how this is working for you so far. Surah Al-Baqarah, I've explained what the theme for that is. And these first seven surahs, they tell a story of religion in general. And they talk about all the elements that are needed for faith to exist appropriately within any society on the planet. And Surah Al-Baqarah tells you your role and then gives you the methodology you live by. And then Surah Ali Imran talks about how to sustain it, how to protect it from external problems or external challenges or external threats, and from internal threats. So the surah is literally 200 verses, and it is divided exactly in the middle at 100. The first 100 verses talk about external problems, external threats, and external challenges that Islam will find historically and still finds today. And the next 100 verses talk about internal challenges. And it does that by going through the Battle of Uhud. That's how it does it. It does it by going through the Battle of Uhud, because the Battle of Uhud was lost not because the other army was powerful, wasn't because there was an external threat that overwhelmed the Muslims. No, it was lost because internally Muslims did not behave appropriately in many different ways. So Surah Ali Imran, the second half, just comes and talks about that and addresses all of the shortcomings, all of the mistakes, and all of the problems that actually occurred. So today, that's what we're going to be going through today, inshallah ta'ala. So we'll start with maybe ayah number 266 of Surah Al-Baqarah, because we're still in Surah Al-Baqarah. So go ahead.
أيود أحدكم أن تكون له جنة من نخيل وأعناب تجري من تحتها الأنهار له فيها من كل الثمرات وأصابه الكبر وله ذرية ضعفاء فأصابها إعصار فيه نار فاحترقت كذلك يبين الله لكم الآيات لعلكم تتفكرون.
So this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ. Would one of you want or hope or wish for a garden that is made of palm trees and vineyards? And under it, the water of rivers runs freely. Within it, he owns all different types of fruit. لَهُ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And then the problem. وَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبَرُ. And then he became arrogant. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءٌ. And he has children and people who are dependent on him, who are weak and require care. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. And then a tornado that had fire in the midst of it occurred upon his garden and burnt it to the ground. He says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you and teaches you his signs so that you may reflect and contemplate them and think about them. The problem of arrogance. It's like a poisonous ingredient that if you bring into anything, any good thing, you put arrogance in it and it ruins it. Anything, any prosperous thing, anything that's working, whatever it may be, a relationship, knowledge seeking, a profession, a masjid, a family, anything at all. You just put arrogance in it. And exactly as the verse explained, a tornado full of fire will hit that and burn it to the ground. This is literally what he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would you like to have all of this? Would you like to have a beautiful vineyard with all the palm trees and vineyards and water under it and all the fruit? And then unfortunately, you're arrogant. You're arrogant and you have people depending on you, which is even worse, because when you become arrogant and you allow problems to actually occur to what you're doing, you end up harming those who are dependent upon you. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءَ. It's a very specific word in the Qur'an. And they have dependents or descendants who are weak, who require this person's assistance. But arrogant happened. So a tornado full of fire would hit and burn everything to the ground. I want you to think of every single scenario that you can come up with and add arrogance to it and watch how everything will come crumbling down to the ground. Arrogance ruins everything. It's why you don't enter Jannah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, if there's any remnants of it left in you. You stand outside. Because arrogance ruins everything. The moment the person thinks that because of what they have, they are somehow superior to someone else, more important, more accomplished, more intelligent, in any form or manner, they just feel that they're better than people because of something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them or something that they accomplished, that is how things begin to get ruined. It's just a matter of time before this figurative tornado filled with fire will come and burn everything down to the ground for that person. And what will happen? ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاءَ. But you have people who are dependent on you, and now you've let them down. You've let them down by not realizing how weak we all are, and how fortunate we all are when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us anything of value. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you anything, any form of comfort or ease, any form of accomplishment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that, we're extremely fortunate to have that. For you to allow that to go to your head and feel somehow now that you deserve some this, or you worked hard for this, or others didn't, and you allow arrogance to brew, is just a matter of time before this arrogance turns into that tornado and it'll burn everything to the ground. And I find this verse to be very meaningful in that sense because it's scary. We've seen it happen too many times. We've seen it happen too many times. We can't afford to ignore this. We can't afford to ignore people who walk this earth with any form of arrogance and how it all ended for them. And if it didn't end for them, it'll end for the ذُرِّيَّةٌ ضُعَفَاء, for the weak descendants that are going to come after them. Because maybe this person somehow makes it through and they die on a high note of arrogance, but it's going to haunt their descendants. It'll haunt whatever it is that they built, and it'll harm those who come after them. And that's the lesson here to me is just worthy of contemplation. Can someone do a ayah? How about we just do 281, because we're running out of time. 281, please. Pass it on to someone, maybe behind you. Give it to Hisham. Or Hamza, someone. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Anyway.
وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ.
Who knows the significance of this beautiful and very touching ayah in the Qur'an? Anyone blurt out the significance? Yeah. So this is the final verse to be revealed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This was revealed to him. He passed away on a Monday alayhi salatu wasalam. It was revealed to him the Saturday before. This was revealed to him after he came back from Uhud. He had gone to give the final farewell to the people of Uhud, to the marchers of Uhud. And he said, Assalamu alaykum, dara qawmin mu'mineen, antum ussabiqoon. And then he said, Inni insha'Allahu bikum lahiq, and I am soon to follow you. And it was when he came back that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel with this final verse, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا. And be very careful and protect yourself from a day, تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, where you will be returned on that day to Allah. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. And every soul on that day will be given with no ظُلْم, no oppression,
with nothing missing. You're going to be given fully everything that you've been owed on that. Every nafs will receive all that it is owed. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ And no one will be treated misfairly. Will be mistreated on that day. No one will be treated unfairly on that day. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ Be very aware. Protect yourself from the day where you're going to be returned. It's not you're going back. You will be returned, whether you like it or not, to Allah. And then He will deliver to you fairly all that which you deserve. And that's the last verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. Just as a reminder for all of us, just beware of that day. Beware of the day where, because that's what all of this, just you want to fizzle this, you want to reduce this down, you want to remove all the clutter. It all comes back to this one verse. Wallahi, the Quran, all you need is this one last verse. So beware of the day where you go back to Allah. And on that day, you will be served all that which you are owed. There will be no oppression that day. There'll be no injustice that day. So what is it that you're owed? And what is it that you did? And what do you deserve on that day? That's a question that only one person can answer, and it's you. But that's what you should be living right now. Not avoiding. Ittaqu doesn't mean avoid, it means protect yourself. Make sure on that day you have all your ducks in a row. Make sure that everything is set up for yourself so that you're ready. And if today, as you walk out of this masjid, you think to yourself, and you're like, I am not actually ready. If this was to happen to me now, and I was to be taken back to Allah and be given what I'm owed, I am not ready, then prepare yourself because there's really no guarantee on tomorrow. All you have is right now, so make sure you work hard to meet that. All right. The final verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, I'm not going to read them because they'll be read, inshallah, today. We all know them well. Where he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. In this verse, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet, آمن الرسول, he believes in everything that Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala descended upon him. And the believers do too. Everything believes, kullun amana billah, he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels and his books and his messengers. They don't differentiate between the messengers. We don't say Dawood is better than Isa, or Isa is better than Musa. We don't talk about this stuff. They are all prophets of God, and they are all equal in our eyes as Muslims. They're all our idols. We follow them. They're our role models. We learn from them, and they're messengers that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't go around ranking people and pointing out mistakes and saying this is better. Not because it's none of our business. What do we say? We say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we obey. Because you remember the verse I talked about yesterday? La taqulu ra'ina wa qulu unzurna wasma'. Don't say, give us, don't negotiate terms. Don't try to lessen the deen. Just say, give me time to understand. At the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, hopefully you understood. Hopefully after reading Surah Al-Baqarah, now you came to some understanding of what the deen is about. So what do you end this with? You say, Sami'na wa ata'na. I've heard and I obey. Ghufranaka Rabbana. And forgive me for my shortcomings, because there will be many of them on the way. Wa ilayka al-masir. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold anyone to more than their capacity. This is the best news that you can be given. You're not going to be held, yawm al-qiyamah, to more than what you were capable of doing. What was your capacity? What was your 100%? That is what he's going to hold you to yawm al-qiyamah. Nothing more. Not even nothing. Nothing at all. Exactly what you were able to do, that's what you're going to be held to yawm al-qiyamah. So the question becomes, are you doing your best? And if this is your best, then barakallah. And if it's not your best, then you go out and figure out what your best is. And you keep on pushing yourself until you bring forward your wusa'. Your wusa, your best, what's the best that you've got? And he did not, subhanahu wa ta'ala, command us to do anything that we don't have the ability to do. So there's two ways to understand this. You're only required to do your best, but he didn't command you to do something that's beyond your best. He didn't ask us to do something that we cannot do. He didn't tell us to pray or to fast or perform hajj, and these things somehow are beyond our wusa. No, they're within our wusa. We're capable of doing them. And then within that capacity, what more can you do? What's the best that you got? Bring that forward. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ You will be given what you're owed, and you'll pay your dues on the Day of Judgment. So what does the surah end with? It ends with a dua. A beautiful dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا O our Lord, do not hold us accountable when we forget or when we make a mistake. رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِنَا O our Lord, don't give us a covenant or give us a burden that we cannot carry like the people before us had to go through. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. Or Lord, do not overburden us with something that we cannot carry. واعفو عنا and pardon us. واغفر لنا and forgive us. وارحمنا and show us compassion. أنت مولانا, you are our Lord. فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Grant us victory and strength over those who defy us. This is what Surah Al-Baqarah ends with. A beautiful dua. After you've been taught everything you need to know about your deen, your role models, mistakes to avoid, and the methodology you're going to live by, you end it by saying, oh, our Lord, we're going to try our best, sami'na wa ata'na, but don't hold us accountable when we make mistakes. Forgive us when there are shortcomings or we forget. And don't overburden us with that which we cannot carry. Don't give us something that we cannot deliver for you on the day of judgment. And then pardon us and forgive us. And that's why this dua is so beautiful and we enjoy listening to it. Because it's meaningful. This is how you start your journey. This is how the Quran begins. The Quran begins with this, with an explanation of everything, and then a dua at the end that you need to make in order for you to make the next steps. You start out by saying that, help me. Don't hold me accountable when I fall short, because I will. And don't overburden me so I'm not able to actually deliver. And forgive me on the way. Allahumma ameen. Yes. Let's do ayah 19 of Ali Imran. Does someone have it? Yeah, go ahead.
إن الدين عند الله الإسلام وما اختلف الذين أوتوا الكتاب إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ومن يكفر بآيات الله فإن الله سريع الحساب.
Ali Imran talking about the challenges, external, internal, and how to sustain this deen, how to protect it from all of those obstacles that may try and take it away from you. That's why at the beginning of it, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts is Islam. وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ. And the people who were given the book, the people of the book who were given revelation before us, they only differed after they were granted knowledge. إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. That's why they differed when they had knowledge. بَغْيًا meaning out of hasad and out of control. Meaning they, al-baghi is when someone tries to overpower someone else and gain control. Or someone feels that someone else is a threat, so they try to neutralize them and try to remove them. So the people of the book only actually differed and started to fight and quarrel over the clarity of what Islam was is after they were given knowledge and they decided that it was more of a power show. It became a power struggle. And they started pulling, every group is trying to pull the idea to itself. So there's a little manipulation happening to the ideas. We're manipulating a little bit of the text. We're changing things around. We're trying to be unique and ostracize the people who are. And then you end up with this mess. But the deen has always been Islam. There's a difference between deen and diyana. They're a little bit different. The deen means the belief system. The belief system has never been different. Adam alayhi salam believed in la ilaha illallah. That's what he was taught. Idris alayhi salam, la ilaha illallah. Nuh alayhi salam, la ilaha illallah. Count them one by one. They all came, read the Quran. They all said the exact same thing. U'budullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. Inni lakum rasulun amin. Fattaqullaha wa ati'un. Wa ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr. They all came and said the exact same thing. Isa alayhi salam, anta qulta lin nasi ittakhidhun. You told people to worship me and my mother? He said, no. Of course not. مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍّ. I would never say something that I didn't have the right to say. If I said it, you know it, but I didn't. لا إله إلا الله. You understand this verse was explaining. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Everyone has come with لا إله إلا الله. Right now, we're the only remaining group on earth that is still saying لا إله إلا الله. Which is why this is so valuable for you to say this, for you to embrace this idea. For the concept of La ilaha illallah to be what defines you as a human being. For you to take La ilaha illallah and to walk this earth explaining the importance of believing in La ilaha illallah, because no one else does. It's fallen to pieces. It fell a long time ago. Diyana is different. Diyana is a shara'i'. Every prophet had a different sharia. Every prophet brought forward a different way of life, different regulations, different rulings, different prohibitions. They weren't all the same. Some things were the same. Some things were never changed. Zina has always been haram. That's never changed. But other things have changed over time. Things are a bit less strict, and then sometimes they become strict again. And every prophet is bringing a sharia that may abrogate the sharia before or may not. That's fine. That's fiqh. That's fiqh. Fiqh, we can argue. I can differ with you. We can have different ways of doing the same thing. Not a big problem, because fiqh can change. It's changed amongst prophets, it'll change amongst Muslims. But what doesn't is la ilaha illallah. That value doesn't change. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-islam. This is what it is. It's always been. It's never changed. Nothing has ever changed that. And every prophet and every prophecy and every religion on earth that came from a prophet, no matter how manipulated it is today, it started with la ilaha illallah from the person who taught it. But there's no money, learn this, huh? But there's no money in monotheism. Monotheism will bankrupt those who are corrupt. There's nothing in it. La ilaha illallah means you have to be selfless, and you have to serve, and you have to work for the best of the people, and you have to try and help others. There's no room for those who would like to take everything for themselves and control. There's no room for it. It doesn't work. La ilaha illallah is the antidote to all of that, to all that corruption, political, financial, social, whatever it is. They don't like la ilaha illallah, and they don't like those who stand by la ilaha illallah. Because those who understand this idea, who actually believe in la ilaha illallah, bring forward a world order that is different, that equalizes amongst people, that looks out for those, for the weaker within society, looks out for their best interest, and makes sure that they're supported, and refuses for there to be some hierarchy that is made up by human being. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانِ. There's nothing to support it. And that's why this struggle is ongoing, will forever keep on going. The Arab had no problem with la ilaha illallah, but there were 365 idols on that Kaaba. They were the reason the financial system of Arabia still existed. What, are you going to knock them all down? Everything we know is based on this. How are we going to communicate with tribes? Based on what are we going to have alliances? What are you talking about? Okay, la ilaha illallah, but leave the idols. We need them. How are we going to negotiate when Ashhur al-Hurum are going to be? How are we going to negotiate when one of us who is very wealthy makes a mistake? Who's going to pardon them? That's why when they came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm sorry to take too much time on this one. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Fulan stole and it was proven. But Fulan is from a very known, maybe we'll forgive him. So the Prophet alayhi salam got accepted. قَالَ لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. If it was my daughter who his beloved is Zahra alayhi salam, if she did it, then I would cut her hand off. What ruined the people before you? إِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الشَّرِيفُ تَرَكُهُ وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِّ. There's pardons for the upper 1%, and everyone else follows the law. The law doesn't seem to cover all of us. La ilaha illallah does not allow for that. So it's not as fun. So there's this resistance. Inna ad-deena 'indallahi al-islam. This is what Islam is. Islam is la ilaha illallah. All of the prophets were Muslim in that sense. Yes, they had different regulations, different rulings, different teachings, but the concept was the same. Okay. Can we move to ayah? Let's do 28 and 30. Someone has 28 and 30? Hisham, go ahead. Just read 28 and then read 30. Read both of them.
لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاه ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير. يوم تجد كل نفس ما عملت من خير محضرا وما عملت من سوء تود لو أن بينها وبينه أمدا بعيدا ويحذركم الله نفسه والله رؤوف بالعباد.
What's the common phrase in the two verses? وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Twice in two verses in Surah Ali Imran, right? One very, very close together, in extreme proximity. Only one verse between them. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. And Allah subhanahu warns you. He warns you of himself. يُحَذِّرُكُمْ نَفْسَهُ. He is warning you of himself. Why? Because he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the most merciful, the most compassionate, and the most loving. But he's warning us of himself. If we continue to cross those lines, if we continue to hear what he has to tell us subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't listen. It doesn't matter to us. He explains, لَا يَتَّخِذِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. A mu'min should not seek alliance outside of his Muslim brothers and sisters. And you go and do that, and you cause musibah within the Muslim world and within the nation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, yuhadhirukum Allahu nafsa. He's warning you of himself. He's warning you that if you cross the line too many times, you'll be punished. You don't want that. You don't want to be in a position where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing you for something that he explained to you multiple times and you still didn't want to listen. And you refuse to listen, and the consequences of that mistake didn't just affect you, it affected everyone around you, but you didn't care to listen. This is our problem, that we don't understand that what we do, the consequences of our actions don't necessarily just stop with us. The ripple effect will affect almost everyone in the world around us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا, and I'm warning you of myself, جَلَّ جَلَالُ اللَّهِ. He says, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا. The day will come where you'll find the good in front of you, everything that you did good right in front of you. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا. And all the bad things that you did are also there, but you're wishing, you wish that they weren't there. You wish that somehow they're removed and put somewhere far away so no one can see them. So you don't have to stand there embarrassed by your bad deeds or be reminded that you're going to be held accountable for them. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. He warns you of himself, of coming with all these bad deeds and nothing to show for a lifetime that you spent. Because then what's going to be left? وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى السَّلَامَةَ. Can we do a number 67? Or let's do 81. Do 81 for him. I got 81.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ. قال أأقررتم وأخذتم على ذلكم إصري؟ قالوا أقررنا. قال فاشهدوا وأنا معكم من الشاهدين.
So this is a really important ayah in Surah Ali Imran that I want you to understand. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This is the story. The story is the following. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant of all prophets and all messengers. All messengers from Adam alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam. All messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took their covenant. What was the covenant? لَمَا آتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ. Once I give you prophecy, and I give you revelation, and I give you wisdom. ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. And then, within your life, a rasul is sent, and he brings with him the teachings of the end of time, and it's exactly what you have, so it's basically proving what you have. And this is speaking of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثم جاءكم رسول مصدق لما معكم لتؤمنن به ولتنصرنه. You leave what you have, you believe in him, and you stand by him. This is the covenant. This is the condition for prophecy, for any messenger. You're going to be a messenger? Okay, here's the condition. I give you all of this, but if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sent during your life, then you leave what you have and you go follow him, and you stand by him. قال أقررتم. Allah asked them, أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكُمْ إِصْرِي. You agree to that? You accept my covenant? إِصْرِي, إصر is covenant. إِصْرِي, Allah is saying, this is إِصْرُ. This is the covenant of God himself. This is my covenant. Do you accept it? قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا. They said, yes, we accept it. قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا. Then be witnesses. وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. I am going to be witness. This is a covenant that was between Allah and his messengers, witnessed by Allah, his prophets, and his messengers. You imagine this covenant? This is an agreement between Allah and his messengers, witnessed by Allah, his prophets, and his messengers, and his angels. فَمَنْ تَوَلَّى بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Those who refuse this covenant later on are the ones who lost their way and made the mistake. أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. Is it any other faith or religion besides the deen of Allah that you would want? وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُونَ. Everything has submitted to him. This is who your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. You understand who he is alayhi salatu wa sallam? Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam was the promise that every prophet knew about. Every messenger was aware of his day that would come. Everyone was aware that he was on his way alayhi salatu wa sallam, just a matter of time. And they had to swear that if they were alive and he was to be sent during their life, they would leave what they have and they would follow him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was going to bring the final revelation, the revelation that was higher in status than all of the other revelations that were sent to prophets. He was going to be given a tashri', a way of life that was superior to all the other ways of life. And he, alayhi salatu wasalam, himself was going to be the role model that was superior to all other role models. So they had no choice but to leave and go with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the covenant they had to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That is just so you understand the status of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know who your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is. This is a covenant that is happening in the heavens. It's a covenant that's occurring between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messengers. You're not allowed to be a messenger until you accept that Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, if he is in your time, then you leave it and you follow him alayhi salatu wasalam. They were followers of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam before they even knew who he was. Before they even saw him, before he was sent and he was granted prophecy alayhi salatu wasalam. So feel the significance of being a person, a part of his ummah alayhi salatu wasalam. I guess we're out of time. We'll listen to Salat al-Isha.